Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Can everybody hear okay? Okay, inshallah. So usually before we actually begin any particular text, one of the things that I try to do to get everybody sort of on the same page is to give a little bit of an introduction as to why we're here, what we aim to do, what the goals of being here over the next weekend are. So the first and foremost thing to understand, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is that we are here to change our lives. That's the only reason that we attend such gatherings. The hope is that perhaps you'll hear something, or you'll see something, or you'll learn something that you'll be able to inculcate in your life and inshallah change it. Now, one thing to understand about changing your life is that it just takes a moment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decide somewhere in His infinite mercy that you are going to be a changed person, and then inshallah your life will change. It doesn't take, it's just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to just make that decision for you. And you've got to just do that deed or hear that thing or enact something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy gets attracted towards it, and your life flips and you change. So that's the reason why we're here. The goal is that we change our lives. Now this is like a hospital. This environment is essentially a hospital. We are detoxifying ourselves from our connections to the dunya, and we are reconnecting ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are addicts. We are addicts of the dunya. And this is an opportunity to essentially, through the hadith, spend time with the Prophet. That's what we're going to do. The hadith is a very, very special subject, because don't forget that within Islam there are two types of wahi. There's wahi matlu' and there's wahi ghayr matlu'. Matlu' means it's recited. Wahi that is recited is called the Qur'an. And wahi that is not recited in your salah is called hadith. Essentially, you have the Prophet standing before you. He speaks. If he speaks directly from Allah, that's Qur'an. And if he speaks something inspired through Allah or from Allah, that's hadith. Everything that comes from his tongue is wahi. Every single thing. So we are essentially studying wahi. The only difference between this and the Qur'an is one, that there's no tawatur, which inshallah we'll cover at another time somewhere. And two, that this is ghayr matlu'. We don't recite it in the prayer. But this is wahi that we are about to enact and listen to and learn. Now, the treatment for this particular hospital is threefold. The first is that we decrease our speech. If you want to benefit from the medicine which will be provided through this hadith, you have to decrease your speech. Either you're talking or you're listening. That's life. Either you are talking or you're going to be listening. And if you're listening, either you're listening to others or you're listening to your soul. So there's phases in decreasing speech. People who talk all the time, they don't have enough time to reflect on themselves and listen to what their own heart is saying. And people who learn to be quiet and reflect and think, those people develop a connection with their heart in which they begin to hear their own state. And when your heart tells you your state, then that's the truest of witnesses, because your heart will never lie regarding your state. So the goal here is to first decrease our speech. The second is to decrease our sleep. And the third is to decrease our interactions with one another. So that actually comes under speech as well. So the three actual principles that they always speak of when you go and study is decreasing in what you eat, decreasing your sleep, and decreasing your interactions with one another, which means speech. So this is a time for reflection, essentially. This weekend is a time for you to take specific measures in your life in order to finally change. Finally become someone who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there are some other important considerations to keep in mind before we begin. The first is your niyyah. Obviously, your niyyah is number one. The niyyah that you have to be here is so important. It's so important. In fact, if you read Imam Bukhari's collection of hadith, which is one of the most important books within our deen, the very first hadith he begins, well, the very first chapter is called Kayfa Kana Bad'u al-Wahi. How the wahi began. How the wahi used to come to the Prophet ﷺ. And the first hadith is innamal a'malu binniyat. It has nothing to do with wahi, innamal a'malu binniyat. In fact, nothing about wahi is mentioned in that hadith. But the ulama explicate that the reason why Imam Bukhari brings a hadith about niyyah at the beginning of his book is because it's such an important juncture in the life of a student and teacher that they need to be reminded about niyyah. Meaning when Imam Bukhari brings Inna ma al-a'malu binniyyat at the beginning of his book, what he's saying is, O students who are about to embark upon this journey of learning hadith, this incredible opportunity to bring qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within your life, know that if you are studying this topic in order to please others, or to show off your knowledge, or quote things in Arabic, or to be able to tell people that you attended such and such and so and so gathering, then you've wasted your time. But if you are here to study hadith, to learn and inculcate what the Prophet ﷺ and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demand of us, then know that there are great rewards for you in this world, as well as gardens under which rivers flow in the hereafter. So niyyah is essential for this particular gathering. And we should really, really think about our niyyah and reflect on our niyyah, and over and over again throughout the course of this weekend, renew our niyyah. And the other important thing is to follow a schedule. Now the organizers of this particular conference have gone through great lengths to make a schedule which would allow participants to benefit and change themselves. And so the schedule, inshallah, we should try to follow as strictly as possible. Another thing is to remain in the state of wudu. Wudu is nur, and you are studying wahi. You are studying a type of wahi. It's very important that you try to be in a state of wudu when you read and learn and understand the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It just adds to the barakah. Another thing is to respect one another. Obviously, all the students have rights. And so respect to one another, be kind to one another, and treat each other as companions within, on a journey whose destination is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth or sixth point is to take careful notes. Now what you're going to hear in the upcoming sessions is actually pre-cooked sweets on a platter. This is what my teacher used to say. When we used to study hadith, my teacher used to say, you have no idea what sweets I'm presenting to you. And not only am I giving you the sweet, I'm putting it in your mouth and I'm only asking you to chew. That's what this is. The knowledge that is being presented here has been gained over years and generations. I mean, the stuff that my teachers presented me, they had heard from their teachers and they had read from countless texts, and it's all going to culminate in the explications of the hadith that you hear while you're present. And so taking careful notes is very, very important, because it's the way that you'll preserve your knowledge. The last thing, and this kind of just a game rule, and it is that I'm totally open to anybody asking questions at any time. But I think just to keep the flow of the hadith and the respect of the hadith, I think it's important that if anybody has a question, whether brother or sister, you just write it down. Inshallah, at the end of every chapter, I'll stop and I'll ask someone to collect the questions, and we'll put them together, and inshallah, once they're together, we'll go over them and answer any questions that need to be answered. Perhaps sometimes the question will be answered in a future hadith, and I'll just simply defer at that point. So those are the game rules and the key points for that you need to consider in order to benefit from these particular sessions. Now the final point that we should keep in mind is that when you study hadith, it's essentially a zikr session. That's what I see hadith as. Because you are going to hear over and over again the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is your opportunity to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so when we were in the madrasa, when we would study hadith, every time the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, you would get an opportunity to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's great rewards and benefits in saying it, and we're not going to enter that here, but this is essentially a type of zikr. And so along with these hadith, keep that in mind, because over and over again it will be qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anna rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, jaa rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So over and over and over again, we get the opportunity to increase our salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now if you look at all the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only in one place mentions a deed that he commands people to do, and that he himself does it. Not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command a deed, but he also does it. And that's in sending salawat in the Prophet. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. Verily Allah and His angels send blessings on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. O you who believe, you also do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself does it and then tells us that we should also do it. So this is very important, sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's an opportunity. You have an opportunity here to do that. Now, the last thing that I'd like to talk about before we actually enter the Shema'il is that this book is actually a discussion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you are going to learn about and reflect upon over the next few days. You have to understand what the definition of the sunnah is in order to really get what this book is at, the core of this book. Now, there are so many ways you can define the sunnah. People will define the sunnah in countless ways. But here's my definition, and I think this really is a practical way of looking at it. The sunnah is the explication of the way that the most perfect of all of servants lived his life to please his Lord, the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ was the most perfect of all servants. When he breathed conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he walked conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he ate with a consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you read this chapter on كيف يأكل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, you are reading how did the most perfect of servants eat while he was conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you read the chapter on how the Prophet ﷺ walked, you are reading how the most perfect of servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walks. And the goal is not a story. This is not a story. This is an opportunity to inculcate the perfect servanthood. That's what the goal is in this particular weekend. Learn the sunan. Learn what the Prophet ﷺ did. How he sat, how he ate, how he talked, how he looked, how he dressed, and then inculcate those exact things within your life. That's the purpose of being here. Now that, inshallah, is the introduction, and inshallah then we'll begin the actual first chapter of the book, inshallah.